And this is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Juneau's 2025 glacial outburst flood may be over, but recovery and repairs are still ongoing. Juneau's Back Loop Bridge remains closed for the foreseeable future due to damage from last week's record-breaking glacial outburst flood. Sam Dapsovich with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities says emergency repairs are currently underway, but he did not have a timeline for when it will reopen to the public.
We're hurrying. We're trying to get it open as quick as we can, but also focused on safety and determining, you know, what's going to need to be done for the long-term fix.
Restoration of power and internet services has been quicker. The temporary levee the city installed along the Mendenhall River this year protected hundreds of homes nearby. But water still leaked through some sections and flooded several streets, requiring Alaska Electric Light and Power to cut power to some areas. Debbie Driscoll with AELMP says power was restored once the floodwaters receded. But she says the flood also crippled a power pole adjacent to Back Loop Bridge, which caused additional outages in some nearby neighborhoods. She says the power has since been temporarily restored to the impacted neighborhoods, and a more permanent fix is expected to be completed later this week.
We basically made it so that power was isolated and no longer being served to that pole, and then we were able to serve customers through alternate means.
Internet provider Alaska Communications also confirmed its services have been restored. Multiple local agencies are assisting in the recovery and cleanup effort. The first round of debris collection from flood-impacted neighborhoods on View Drive, Marion Drive, Meander Way, and Meadow Lane began today, according to the city. More information about flood recovery and resources can be found on the city's website. Former state senator Tom Begich is running for governor. Begich, an Anchorage Democrat, is the first Democrat in a field already crowded with Republicans. He says the main reason he's running is to reverse what he sees as state stagnation. He emphasizes the need to boost education funding and wants to raise state revenues, from corporate taxes, trimming oil tax credits, and the like. He says it's within reach.
That's just about agreeing that these things make sense. None of those things cost an individual Alaskan anything. What it requires is members of the legislature and the governor to agree. And I'm not seeing that happen right now.
Bills to change how the state taxes corporations and grants petroleum tax credits are pending in the legislature but face an uncertain future. The last Democrat to win a statewide race in Alaska was Mary Peltola. She was elected to the U.S. House in 2022, lost in 2024, and hasn't announced whether she's running for any office in 2026. Begich says if she decides to run for governor, he would drop out.
I've always told her, and I would say this to you, if she were to get in this race, I wouldn't need to be in this race. She would be in the race. But I am in the race, and that is the difference.
So far, Begich has just filed a letter of intent to run, but if he wins, he'd be the fourth in his family to hold statewide office. His father, Nick, and brother, Mark, served in Congress as Democrats. Tom is the uncle of Alaska Congressman Nick Begich III, a Republican. And last week, a man seeking asylum in Anchorage was arrested outside the restaurant he works at and detained by federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials. His attorney says he remains in custody, despite ICE admitting the man does not have a criminal conviction, as the immigration officials initially claimed. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports on the muddy situation for Santiago Martinez.
On a recent Monday morning, Martinez's boss, Jennifer Choi, got a call from the 30-year-old's girlfriend, who said he needed help. Choi went behind her restaurant, Sushimoto, and saw Martinez being detained by ICE officers. Martinez goes by Diego.
So when I go, Diego was in the car. And then I would say, okay, what's going on? They say he don't have a green card. I tell them he have a green card. He have a green card. I tell them like 2-3 times. But he say, we have to take him.
Martinez had worked for Choi for more than 5 years as a sushi chef. And she says he was a great employee.
He have a good heart. He helped. Even his sushi chef, he helping kitchen, dishwash, whatever needed help. He do everything. He never complained.
In an emailed response, ICE spokeswoman Christine Catita said Martinez is a Mexican national who is in the country illegally. She said ICE officials first encountered Martinez in 2019 when he entered the country and was arrested by airport police. His case was dismissed by a judge in 2022 for, quote, prosecutorial discretion. Margaret Stock, Martinez's attorney, says Martinez is an indigenous person from Mexico and was seeking asylum in the United States. She says the charges for his initial immigration arrest were dismissed because the judge ruled he had a valid asylum case.
He does have a very good reason not to return. I mean, people in the family have been killed and murdered.
She says it's not uncommon for asylum cases to take years to resolve. Katita with ICE wrote that Martinez, quote, jeopardized any legal privilege to remain in the United States when he was arrested by the Anchorage Police Department on November 12, 2024 for driving under the influence, end quote. But Stock says that while Martinez was arrested, the charges were thrown out, and he doesn't have a drunken driving conviction on his record.
I talked to the ICE people, and they were operating on misinformation that he had a DWI conviction, which he doesn't have. But they claim that was the reason on the telephone to me that they were arresting him was that he had a DWI conviction.
Stock says the ICE officials told her they made a mistake arresting Martinez since he doesn't have a drunken driving conviction. But she says they still won't release him.
They told me that once they grab somebody, they're not allowed to release him anymore. And they say that this is a new rule that has been made up by the DHS leadership that people who are pending asylum, they can just grab them anytime and put them in detention.
Katita, the ICE spokeswoman, said that convictions and arrests can jeopardize someone's immigration status. But Stock says the Department of Homeland Security isn't following the law.
I think it's illegal and it's un-American. It's unconstitutional. And then on top of it, there's obviously errors in the system. So how can we trust the Department of Homeland Security when they make these kind of egregious errors all the time?
For now, it remains unclear if Martinez will be deported. Stock says she was able to meet with Martinez when he was being held at the Anchorage Correctional Complex, but the opportunities were limited.
He was freezing cold and shivering while he was talking to me. He said it's freezing in there. And then he also told me that they would only let him make one phone call a day. They've denied me access to speak with him because they have special rules that attorneys aren't allowed to go in there for huge chunks of the day. You know, they have hours that are off limits to attorneys.
She says those rules contradict what ICE's website says about the Anchorage Correctional Complex, that attorneys can access clients from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. Martinez was transferred last week to a detention center in Tacoma, and Stock is there too, working to get him released. But she worries that the center will have similarly harsh conditions and the lack of access that the Anchorage jail does. Meanwhile, Troy, Martinez's boss, says she's concerned about how his detention will impact her business and her employees.
Everybody getting sad, like depressed, I think. And, you know, and some people, they don't even want to work, even they have a green card. You know, they just scared to work.
Troy says she's also pitching in to try to get Martinez back to Alaska. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And anglers from all over the world descend on the Kenai River each summer for sockeye salmon. And this year, they've been catching them with ease, thanks to a record-breaking salmon run. KDLL's Hunter Morrison has more.
It's the last day of the dip netting season at the mouth of the Kenai River. And dozens of Alaskans are standing waist-deep in the tide with large nets in their hands. Salmon are literally jumping out of the water around them. Jessica Parker from Anchorage and her group of three caught 40 salmon in just 2 hours. She's filleting them in a line on shore. She says they've never caught this many in a single tide before.
No, this is pretty incredible. We have to tell ourselves to stop because the processing is so much work.
Just up the beach, Freddie Salmoniego of Palmer emerges from the waves with his dip net. He counts not one, not two, but three sockeye tangled in the mesh.
Yeah, it's been a great, awesome day. So, like, I haven't gotten less than a two, and this is the second triple. So. But yeah, pretty epic day.
Salmoniego has been there about 45 minutes and has already caught 18 sockeye. That's because the Kenai River is seeing the highest number of sockeye escapement this summer since the Alaska Department of Fish and Game began tracking those numbers in 1987. Since July 1st, the department's sonar sockeye tracker has counted over 4 million salmon swimming up the lower Kenai River.
The sockeye run this year for the Kenai River has been phenomenal.
That's Philip Stacy, Fish and Game's sport fish area manager for the northern Kenai Peninsula.
We've had multiple days over 240,000 coming into the river.
The number of sockeye in the river is more than double what it was last summer. From July 16th to August 5th of this year, the department's sonar tracker counted over 100,000 sockeye each day. Stacy credits the record-breaking sockeye counts to several factors. One, ocean conditions have been favorable in recent years. That means more food availability. And two, Cook Inlet's east side set net fishery, which briefly reopened last week, has been closed since 2022 to protect declining king salmon returns. Stacy says the king salmon restrictions could be letting more sockeye into the Kenai River.
So these fish are coming off of undisturbed runs and returns from 3 to 5 years ago.
And this year's sockeye runs could be an indicator for next year's. Stacy says sockeye usually spend about a year in freshwater, like lakes, then up to 3 years in saltwater. He says the number of two-year-old sockeye in the river this year may correlate to the number of three-year-old sockeye that return next year.
With the number of fish that we have, I would say that we're going to be looking at another big run next year.
Stacy says it's not just the number of sockeye in the river this year that are breaking records. He suspects the number of people fishing for those sockeye are also high. While his department won't have the data until next year, he says, anecdotally, his Soldotna office has been way busier than normal with people obtaining licenses and dip netting permits.
I am just excited to see that there are so many people coming down to utilize the resource and try and fill their freezers.
Although dip netting on the Kenai Peninsula is closed for the season, anglers can still fish for salmon on the Kenai River with a rod and reel. Reporting on the Kenai Peninsula, I'm Hunter Morrison.
And in Juneau right now, it is 60 degrees and mostly cloudy. Tonight, there's patchy fog in the forecast after 1 a.m. with a low around 54. And fog and showers will remain in the forecast through the rest of this week. This is KTOO.